Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Higher Dimensions. This is Phyllis Pricer, and I'm your hostess for this evening. And as I told you last week, we have a wonderful guest who's been on before, Carl Helvey, who's an RN, and he has got so much wonderful, wonderful background, including in the field of holistic medicine and on how to avoid aging, how to use what's around and what's natural and the good stuff to hold off aging and look forever young. Good evening, Carl.
Hi, Phyllis. How are you?
Fine, love. How are things going?
Just great.
Oh, wonderful. Is there anything that you'd like to add to your little background that I just tossed out off the top of my little pointed head?
No, I think mainly that, I always like to mention that I had lung cancer 31 years
okay.
ago.
Okay.
My doctor told me I'd be dead in 6 months, and I used a holistic approach, which I have continued to use.
Mm-hmm.
And now, at age 75, I have no chronic illnesses and no prescribed medication.
Isn't that fabulous, folks?
And the average is 3 chronic illnesses and 5 prescribed medications for
wow.
people my age.
Wow.
So I think that speaks well for a holistic approach.
It surely does. And what are we going to talk about this evening? You know, I kind of leave it up to my guests to talk about what's near and dear to their heart and to share with our audience all the good stuff that you've accumulated as much as you can in the time allotted. So
well, we had talked about when we were going to do
right.
this earlier about some possibilities were to talk about when I had lung cancer, what I did
okay.
talk about. What people can do to stop smoking, to lose
mm-hmm.
weight,
okay.
Talk about how expensive things have gotten for
oh.
industry.
Oh, absolutely.
And what they're doing to try to cut down. Talk a little bit about herbs if we wanted, and also talk some about mental and spiritual interventions, because I think sometimes these are the pieces that are left out.
Absolutely. That's very, very important, is the mental and emotional aspect of illnesses, because as Edgar Casey said, all illnesses arise first in the spirit, then into the mind, and then into the physical body. So once we connect body, mind, and spirit into a holistic manner, that's how we can get a handle on these illnesses, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, jump in anywhere. What are you talking about as far as stopping smoking, and what are some good things to do that are holistic that we can look forward to? Because there are many people who have either this illness or know somebody or have a relative who has this issue.
Well, one thing about smoking, I read in the last week that secondary smoke, I didn't realize that it
mm-hmm.
was quite as bad as it is, but if you spend 1 hour around secondary smoke,
mm-hmm.
that is comparable to smoking 4 cigarettes.
Good Lord.
Did you know that it was
no.
that bad?
No. I knew it was bad, but I had no idea that the statistic was that high. In other words, those who smell or are open to smoking are worse off than those who smoke?
Almost, because you'd almost have to be a chain smoker, I think, to get 4 down an hour, but I don't know.
Good Lord. Okay. Okay. No,
but,
I didn't know that.
As far as smoking, you know, there's a lot that people need to do before they quit.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very difficult habit to quit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an ex-smoker. I smoked. And the reason I started smoking was when I was a nursing student. If you sat down and had a cup of coffee,
yep.
someone came and got you to go to work and do
mm-hmm.
something on the units. But
mm-hmm.
if you sat down with a coffee and a cigarette, they
mm-hmm.
left you alone. And so that's why I started smoking.
You're kidding.
So I could take a short break in the 8-hour shift that I was on the units working for free as a student. Because when
right.
I was a student back in the 50s, student nurses were used as service.
Oh, absolutely. Same with me. I went to Georgetown.
Mm-hmm.
And we, freshman year, actually, I recall we worked, beginning our second semester, we worked part-time as nursing assistants.
Right.
And then in the summer, we were capped, and beginning our sophomore year, we had to work close to 40 hours a week,
mm-hmm.
if you can believe that, as LPNs for
mm-hmm.
free. and carry 16 hours.
Well, my second year of nursing, I affiliated at Bellevue Hospital in New York City.
Wow.
I had orientation one day, and the next day, I'm in charge of a 40-bed unit on 3 to 11.
What?
So guess who taught me?
The
aides.
Oh, my God.
They taught me the routines and all of that because, you know, I didn't know the hospital or where to get anything or, you know, the routine.
That's scary when you look back on it, isn't it?
Yeah, it's scary for the patients and it's scary for me. But, you know, when you're young, you kind of think you know everything.
Uh-huh.
It's only when you get a little bit older that you realize that you didn't know everything.
But aren't you glad you didn't know everything?
Right. So
sometimes
I started smoking so I could have these little breaks, but people need to start out early, you know, before they quit, and they need to review their history, how often they smoke, what triggers smoking, how they're going to quit. Are they going to go to cold turkey? Are they going to use some nicotine assistant that reduces the nicotine. They also need to start some sort of an exercise program, usually 2 to 3 months before they quit smoking.
What about hypnotherapy? Now, smoking cessation is one of those areas that, you know, usually we have, very often people stop after one session, which I try not to encourage.
Mm-hmm.
Because then I feel that it's not really going to take well, that you really need more than one session.
Right.
But and that it's harder to quit smoking than it is to stop drug addiction.
Well, I haven't been on drugs, so I don't know.
I'm asking for personal experience.
I know that it was very difficult to quit smoking.
Uh-huh.
It was much easier when I had hepatitis to give up alcohol. I mean, because alcohol was never a big part of my life anyhow. I mean, I'd have a drink with people, but
social drinking was
easy to give up. But the smoking was very difficult. And back when I stopped smoking about 30 years ago.
Well, hypnosis wasn't known so much then.
No.
Okay, but it is pretty potent today. I know that.
Right.
So, all right, continue on with the giving up smoking. So you really have to plan. It's not usually a last-minute thing, although some people say, well, I stopped on a dime and never smoked again. Well, I think that might be what, the exception rather than the norm?
I think so, and I think sometimes there's a fear motive involved, and that's a good teaching method. People used to show pictures of patients that had had radical neck surgery. Do you remember those?
I tried it with my kids, letting them see a PBS show one time on cancer of the mouth and cancer of the lungs.
Right.
Didn't work real well. One of them picked up smoking anyway.
Oh, he did?
Yes, he did.
Well, sometimes the fear thing will help people to stop. I know my sister in Syracuse, New York, their neighbor died with cancer. And she and her husband both stopped immediately after.
Wow.
And they haven't smoked since. So I think it was the fear of developing illnesses.
Right.
Or, you know, dying or whatever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's effective for some people. It works with them.
Well, it's different strokes for different folks, I guess, is one way of putting it.
Right.
That each person is motivated. Some just say they've had it or, you know, it's too expensive a habit or it's a dirty habit or... As you say, then there's an illness in the family or a friend.
Mm-hmm.
What are some other things to be aware of? You were talking about...
Well, imagery is helpful.
Good.
You can imagine yourself not smoking.
Mm-hmm.
You can imagine yourself, you know, in a pleasant setting. You know, if you get stressed and you want a cigarette after you stop, you know, you can do visualization by imagining yourself in a peaceful setting and...
Well, that's kind of what hypnotherapy does, too. You know, brings up that kind of utilization.
I'm sorry, what?
That kind of thing is under hypnosis, too.
Oh, right,
The use of imagery, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's very close, yeah, well.
Right. And then relaxation techniques are helpful.
Okay.
I think that it's helpful. The first day is one of the most difficult days, and the first week is also difficult. So planning to visit family or friends on that first day is important because it detracts you from, you know, the lack of smoking.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if you can find a partner to quit with at the same time, that's helpful because you can support each other.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Support is also a good thing, yes. Okay, wonderful.
Self-contract is helpful. And by self-contract, I mean where you sit down and
mm-hmm.
you write, what are the things I need before I start this program?
Mm-hmm.
What are the things or what are the sayings that are going to make it difficult?
Mm-hmm.
For this program, like, I can't do this. I've got to have a cigarette. That's a harmful thing.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to writing some things down that are positive.
Mm-hmm.
I don't let things control me. I'm going to beat this. It's
mm-hmm.
not going to be a problem. You know,
mm-hmm.
and then also decide when you're going to quit, when are the stress situations and what you're going to do when you experience a stress situation.
Mm-hmm.
Having a partner that
mm-hmm.
will sign this with you,
mm-hmm.
Identifying what you're going to give up if you're unsuccessful, what you're going to gain if you are successful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's a new suit or a new piece of clothing or...
Mm-hmm.
a day at the spa if you're successful
mm-hmm.
or whatever.
Okay.
Then there are another important thing is a cleansing program.
Okay.
Because often, you know, when you go into someone's house that has smoked,
mm-hmm.
it's into everything. You smell it.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yes. It's in the curtains. It's in the couches. It permeates everything. In other words.
Right. So you need to not only be taking baths because your skin, as you're detoxing and quitting smoking, you know, it comes out of the
pores
and your skin smells. So you
wow.
not only need to be taking baths, but you also need to be doing something about cleaning up the environment, airing the house,
uh-huh.
cleaning the drapes,
uh-huh.
doing what you can with the...
Gee, I hadn't even thought about that. The pores, that's something that just, you know, just makes sense,
mm-hmm.
you know? It's like, you know, people who eat garlic, you can smell them coming.
Right. And then there's a lot of vitamins and minerals that
mm-hmm.
are helpful when you quit, like vitamin C, because
okay.
you usually excrete a lot of vitamin C when you smoke. And so a lot of that needs to be replaced, and that protects the cells.
Because that also lowers your immune system, doesn't it, smoking?
Right.
Uh-huh. So you're more, does it also make you more acidic in your...
Yes, it does.
Okay, your body, your acid-alkaline ratio?
Right. And would you believe that I went to my primary physician about a month ago, and he tells me, I was very impressed with him,
uh-huh.
he tells me that I'm too alkaline and that I need to take some vitamin C to make me a little more acidic. Of course, what he didn't know was I was taking vitamin C anyhow.
Right.
I just upped the dose. So,
okay.
yeah, the vitamin C will make it a little more acidic. But, you know, it's needed because you deplete yourself a lot of the vitamin C.
Okay.
And I don't know if there's research or not about smokers versus non-smokers and
uh-huh.
having more colds and things like that.
I think yes, because it affects your respiratory system. You're depressed.
Mm.
Your immune system is absolutely depressed. And then you're more, you know how often there are a lot of them that get sick very, very frequently.
Mm-hmm.
And I've kind of noticed that just in general. I mean, I don't know that there's a study been done about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I do know when I've noticed people who smoke, they always seem to be coughing, but smokers cough, of course, but then when it's like that, you just get sick a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it also stresses your heart, by the way, all that coughing and hacking, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
It is a strain on your heart. Okay.
And then vitamin E is good for for healing of
mm-hmm.
the cells in the body. And
okay.
vitamin B12 increases the liver functioning.
Oh.
And so that also is good to take when you are quitting smoking.
Well, Well, I know you've given me advice, and I follow some of it by E and D and, taking magnesium with calcium,
mm-hmm.
so it's more easily absorbed in the body.
Right, right.
Okay, so, yeah, this is all wonderful.
The herb, the thing that I mm-hmm. discovered this week and last week, and I'm so excited about it.
Okay.
And this is not smoking cessation, but I'm at age 75, which is an age where men start having problems with their prostates.
Okay.
Well, they usually start much, much earlier. The only reason I think that I held out so long is because I eat lots of vegetables.
Oh, yes.
And that is very good for the prostate. And also,
really?
I drink almost a gallon of water every day, and the prostate loves to be bathed in water.
Okay, are you taking notes, gentlemen?
But I reached a point where I was getting up every hour during the night, and that wasn't so pleasant. And so I knew I'd reached the age, and I went to my primary, and I told him that I thought that it was prostatitis. And so he put me on Cipro, but I don't like taking medications if I don't have to, but I did take it, but it didn't get any better, so he sent me to the urologist. Well, the urologist told me that I had benign prostatic, well, we called it hypertrophy when I was a student. I think now they call it hyperplasia. And he wanted to put me on Flomax, and I said to him, well, I'd rather not do that.
Right.
Because I said, I don't take any medications long term.
Right.
And I'd rather do something natural. And he said to me, well, the Flomax's not going to cure it. He said, you know, if you got something you want to try, he said, that's fine. He said, and I'll be anxious to see how you are in 6 months.
Right.
So I took something called beta cystosterol. And
which
now
is?
Different people, you know, the problem with some of the herbs is that they are not standardized.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, right.
And so a person that I admire very much, a physician, recommended 3,000 milligram of this.
That sounds like a lot.
Well, I tried 300, and that was more than I could tolerate. So I dropped back to 115 of the particular brand that I was using. And it was working fine, except it gave me indigestion. So what I'm getting to is that I found that orange peel is outstanding for acid reflux and for heartburn. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Well, yeah, but then I use Jin Shinjutsu holding the thumb, which gets rid of acid reflux.
You do what?
You hold the thumb in your fist.
That's right. You had told me that.
Yeah,
right.
you just hold your thumb in a fist, and that gets rid of the acid reflux in about a minute.
Well, this orange peel.
Okay, go ahead with yours.
Get now in capsules.
Okay.
And they're soft gel.
Okay.
And they say that if you take one every other day over 20 days, that you will not have acid reflux for at least 6 months.
Good.
And I'm at 16 days.
Okay.
And I'm back eating nuts. I'm eating chocolate. I'm eating the stuff that I couldn't eat, you know, before.
Okay.
And I'm not having any problems, so I'm real excited about discovering about orange peel.
Well, I think that's fabulous. I think that's good.
But I'm sorry I didn't remember the thumb and the finger, so I'll have to, you know, impress
that
on my mind again.
Yeah, well, it's hard, you know. It's hard to remember all these things because there's so much, but I think it's fabulous about the orange peel.
Yeah.
So I think that that's a very, very good thing. You know, a lot of people don't want to believe in things like holding your thumb and so forth. So and also, my feeling is it's good to have several things you can choose from.
Right, right.
You know, variety is the spice of life, and I think that's fabulous. So orange peel for acid reflux, beautiful. You going to tell your doc about it?
Yeah, when I
go back. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the beta cystosterol, that also is working great, and that's primarily fruit and vegetables.
Okay.
So I mean, I think maybe that when you take too much of those,
Yes.
In a concentrated form. That's why I had acid reflux from it.
Well, I think also we have to remember that moderation
in
all things is probably a wise idea.
Right.
And but 3,000 milligrams, my God, that would rock me on my socks.
Well, I'm going to write him and tell him that when he revises this book that he had that in, that he needs to change that.
Well, you know, it might be possible that it was a printing error.
Right. It could have been, right.
Yeah, because I've known that to happen. People sometimes don't quite do the editing that they should.
Right. Now, the other thing that I use, and I think that this is almost a miracle herb, and that's aloe or aloe vera.
Oh, yes.
And I drank that, you know, in the beginning when I was, still having problems, even when I was taking the orange peel.
Right. That's supposed to be excellent.
It is. And I've used that several times when I had diverticulitis.
Uh-huh.
And the doctor gave me prednisone.
Oh, yes.
I used this instead, and it healed, and I haven't had a problem in 7 years.
Wow.
I also used it when I had an anal fissure.
Uh-huh.
You know, because it is so soothing to the GI tract.
Right.
And also when I had problems with my internal hemorrhoids.
Okay.
So I think it's a wonderful, herb.
Yes.
And most people use it as burns, but as I say, it's also very good internally.
Well, yeah, it's got many uses from what I understand.
Right, right.
Not just burns, and for juice, for drinking as well. You know, my girlfriend when I was having some stomach issues, and she had me drink aloe vera.
Mm-hmm. And did it help?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. So that's wonderful. All right. Some of the other things that you said you wanted to talk about something else today. Is there anything else you've missed, you know, along the lines of the smoking and the upset tummy and stuff at the moment? Or you want to forge ahead to your next subject?
Yeah, we can move on.
Okay.
That pretty much covered the smoking, and I got off, but I tend to get off track sometimes.
It's okay. We can wander around in the brush. The wonderful thing about this is, you know, I always learn something new, too. That's what's so wonderful about being able to talk with people on the show. And also, ladies and gentlemen, please feel free to call in and ask questions. That's okay with you, isn't it?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So if you have questions about a particular illness or something else, feel free to call or even bring us your stories and or your ideas or something that you may have found that you've worked or heard about or want to question, because I think we want you to be interactive, please, if it's all possible. So you're certainly welcome to call in and talk about or ask about something. So that's to my lovely, lovely listeners who, God bless them, are such wonderful people. But go ahead. You were wanted to talk about another subject now regard to, I've forgotten now.
Well,
one of the senior moments I'm having.
We can talk about the lung cancer. We can talk about herbs. We can talk
about smoking.
Spiritual intervention.
Oh, it's spiritual intervention. Okay, go on that.
I this happened when I had lung cancer.
Mm-hmm.
I had a dream that told me to go for a chest x-ray, which started the process of being diagnosed.
Wow.
And I call that God speaking to me.
Oh, absolutely.
And I feel that, God speaks to me through dreams,
mm-hmm.
through intuition,
mm-hmm.
Through a friend, people that I meet.
Okay. So you're open.
And
you're open to receiving messages.
Right.
Okay.
And that I attune myself to God through my meditation,
mm-hmm.
through prayer, through being of service to others,
mm-hmm.
through strengthening my spiritual attributes of mm-hmm. developing faith, patience.
Mm-hmm.
Not so good on patience, but I do pretty good on faith and mm-hmm. forgiveness.
Oh, yeah. Well,
patience is a hard one to work on, I think.
You and me both, honey. I'm always reminded of that limerick that I learned as a little girl. Patience is a virtue. Virtue is a grace. Grace is a little girl who has a dirty face. So, yeah, patience is not one of my strong virtues either. So that's something I have got to work on right along beside you, dear.
Yep. Well, forgiveness is,
yes,
you know, I think the reason that we need to forgive people is that it holds us back. We get stuck in the past.
Yes, yes. And if we do not forgive others, we don't forgive ourselves. And that's something that we all have to do is forgive. Even if we feel that it's not our fault, we still have to say, I forgive myself, because there's some guilt hanging around there somewhere.
Right.
Hiding in the bushes, so to speak.
And what you're using is an affirmation, and so affirmations are one of the things that are very good in terms of forgiveness.
Yes.
Thinking of the person, thinking of the situation, and then using an affirmation, I forgive so-and-so for such-and-such, and repeating this over and over. And then, as you say, you need to also forgive yourself, so you need to go through the whole process again. For forgiving yourself for whatever it is that you're hung up on.
So and sometimes we can't see what it is we're hung up on. And that's the most frustrating part, because we do try, you know. We do indeed try to forgive our enemies. But I think also a lot of times we do hang on to stuff without being aware of it, which is such a sad situation.
One thing that I've found that is very good for forgiving your enemies, too, is to combine it with prayer.
Okay.
So your enemy is a difficult person. And so you pray for that person for 1 week, and you ask for health, prosperity, the best in life possible for that person. And when you think of that person during the week, you again use this affirmation. And then you evaluate your feelings at the end of the week. And what seems to happen is that they seem to have changed if you're still having interaction with them. But what it is that you have changed, and as you change, because they sense the change in you.
Absolutely. As you change, so other people do. It's amazing how you can change your approach to people, and how it's almost magical, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And, you know, that's about the only way that another person is going to change, because you can't change someone. It's only as you change, they sense that change, and then they interact with you differently.
That's right.
But so often people go into relationships and they want to save the person, or they want to get them to stop drinking, or they want to do this or that or the other.
Right.
But you're not going to do anything for another person. The only thing you can do is do something for yourself.
Absolutely. I am quite in 100% agreement on that. Okay, that's also. And when one is ill, it's very important, I think, also to reach out to others.
Right.
Sometimes when you're really sick, you don't want to reach out to someone else. You kind of want to go to ground and hide, so to speak. But, you know, many people are... We should allow them the opportunity to share and give to us. I think many people are so used to giving to others
that
they forget that in not allowing others to give to you, to oneself, we are denying that other person the gift of returning goodness that they themselves have experienced at some point.
Right, and I think some of that, at least for me, is not wanting to feel dependent.
Right.
You know, I don't mind dying, but I don't want a long-term illness where I'm going to be dependent on someone.
Exactly. But we're talking about something else, I think here, in that it's the sharing. I do some hospice work, and, you know, sometimes just being there for someone to talk to, you know, when you have someone who's ill or you're ill yourself, just having someone who sits and listens to you, if nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it allows you to express yourself and also to give. Sometimes all you need is a shoulder, to give a
mm-hmm.
shoulder in kindness and compassion.
Right.
You know, and I think that's very important. And I would urge my listeners to consider doing something for a local hospice, you know, or
mm-hmm.
a children's hospital, or because when you give to others, I think also it has something to do with raising your healthy
right.
body. It helps boost your immune system when you do good for other people. I think there has been a study recently on that.
Right.
And maybe you know more about that.
Well, also what you send out comes back to you. And
mm-hmm.
I was on an hour and a half teleseminar this afternoon where with a person who sells thousands of books, and he does it by working through corporations.
Uh-huh.
And they'll buy maybe 10,000, 20,000 books that they give out as, incentives to buy their products.
Oh, really?
But what he does is he builds in giving back in every amount of money that he gets. And he said at one time he sold 100,000 books.
Uh-huh.
But it was with the understanding that 90% of the money was going to help other people.
Huh.
To volunteer organizations.
Oh, okay.
Well, if you take, I think he said that his 10% amounted to $3. Well, if you take 100,000 plus $3, that's a lot of money.
Sure is. It surely is.
But he was giving back. He said that's his philosophy. He always gives back, you know, to the community when he makes money.
Well, that's a fascinating thing.
Well, I think you're right. You know, it's very important that people give.
And you can give, as I said, just by listening to someone.
Right.
And too many times I think people think, well, I can do that and write checks. That's not really giving. I mean, it's nice to have money. But giving of yourself, I think, is where the satisfaction comes in
mm-hmm.
and the lift of the spirit. At least that's my feeling.
But I think you can, it depends on the motive for giving.
Okay.
Financially. I
yeah.
think that you can get that same feeling
uh-huh.
by providing, you know, it's...
I'm not saying not to give money,
yeah, right.
mind you.
Right.
But
it's
I'm
like,
saying also giving of yourself.
Right. Well, it's like when I worked with the homeless before I had a
right.
center for the homeless.
Right.
If I don't give to a lot of organizations, but I would give directly to people.
That's giving.
If someone needed, if someone is having problems with their tooth,
uh-huh.
I might pay for them to have their tooth taken care of.
Well, that's
so
certainly.
I would do things like that I would be
mm-hmm.
giving financially directly to them. But
well, that's
it
a little
was,
different than writing a check.
Yeah, right.
You know, like
right.
to United Way or something. That's what I meant.
Oh, right, yeah.
Okay,
right.
I was talking more about involving oneself, not just
mm-hmm.
dashing off a check off your, you know, once a year.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
right.
And they have found that people who do give in charitable, you know, give of themselves,
uh-huh.
do feel or benefit physically from that.
Mm-hmm.
They feel better. They have a greater sense of accomplishment. They are less sick. They tend to be healthier.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and also
longer.
We're here to serve other people on this earth plane.
Right, right.
Which I think is a fabulous place to be, by the way.
That's what I call, in my book, I call being of service to others.
Yes.
And okay. sometimes it can be on the one-to-one.
Right.
And sometimes it can be to a group, like...
Yes.
The thing that's very popular with people is on the holidays, they like to go and serve meals to the homeless.
Well, that's lovely.
They might not see them the rest of the year, but on
right.
the holidays, they will, you know.
And that's good, too.
Right.
I mean, all of this is wonderful.
Right, Right.
All of it is good for the soul. Now, mention your book and tell the people about your book, please.
The book is Healthy Holistic Aging, A Blueprint for Success, and it looks at how we can maintain health throughout life by working with our physical, mental, spiritual health,
mm-hmm.
by working with our relationships, by working with our environment, and by working with politics. And politics might seem like it doesn't fit in there, but if you think about it, it's the politicians that make the decisions that most influence our health.
Absolutely.
And if you look at the political candidates right now for president, you find them talking about health care for everyone.
Right.
That's just one example of how the politicians make decisions that influence, you know, our health, our environment, and our relationships.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at what's happened over the last 8 years, you'll see that our environment has gone to pot.
Right.
And so politicians are very much involved in our health and all. And so I advocate working with the political process, if that's what you want to do, or working with advocacy groups.
Well, all of this is indeed doing good works.
Right,
as we label them. So I'm glad you're bringing up that as alternatives, because you're right. I wouldn't have thought of that off the top of my little pointed head. But you're absolutely right. Becoming involved.
Mm-hmm.
And, voicing. Not becoming one of the silent people who sits there and complains and does nothing, but actually wanting to do something by opening up.
Right, right.
Okay.
And once you start, because there's all kinds of advocacy groups on the Internet, that's been a wonderful way
for
people to join together. And it's like I belong to the Human Resource Defense Council, I think it is. And they're very much into, I think that's what it is, but I might have the name wrong.
Uh-huh, go ahead.
But they're into protecting the environment, and they have a team of lawyers. And if the federal government does something that is hurting the environment, they may take them to court.
Ah.
But what they do is when the government is putting out, like when they wanted to have sleds and all going through Grand Canyon in the wintertime.
Oh, yeah.
They knew that was going to be detrimental.
Of course,
or
that makes common sense.
The sonar noise with the whales or the
and that's
endangered
just been approved.
Bears.
Do you know that's just been approved to allow them to continue in the Pacific to use sonar?
Oh, I thought they had just. Was approved.
The Navy was just given permission to continue using sonar tests.
Oh.
Yeah, I read that yesterday, I think.
Oh, now what they do is, and all of these agencies do the same,
uh-huh.
if the government is coming up with something, they contact all of their members.
Uh-huh.
And like when they contact me, then I contact my senator or my House of Representative people from Virginia.
Okay.
If they contacted you, you would contact
me with my no voting rights.
Contact in Washington. You don't have anyone, do you?
We don't have the right to vote. We're still begging for the right to be able to be represented with votes in the House. And you know why it was originally done? They were afraid that people in Washington would rise up and take over the main government. Like, who wants it? Like, what, 500,000 could take over multi-millions?
Right. Well,
I don't think so.
The thing is, you know, they get people, like people in Maryland contact their legislators.
Right, right.
People in all different states, and then you've got a lot of pressure coming to bear on the congressmen. And, and they only move if they get lots of pressure on them. And so, you know, that's one way that the people have some input into.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we don't have much input, but that's some input that you have. And so, yes. You know, surprisingly, sometimes it's successful.
Well, you know, every little bit helps is what you're saying, basically.
Because groups can do a lot more than an individual can.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, I can yell loud, but not that loud. Oh,
so the political aspects are very important, whether it's at
yes.
your local level,
yes.
or the state level, or the national level.
Well, we are all affected by the decisions that are made nowadays, and we're finding more and more that we are not an ecosystem or world unto ourselves, that everything is delicately balanced, and we can't take one effect, one action here and not have it felt around the world.
Right.
I mean, it's just, you know, that's the ostrich with the sticking the head in the sand type of thing, you know. I don't know that they actually do that, but, you know, that's a concept. And it's truly, and it's also, the other thing is, along with that is, the same is true of our own thoughts. That if we have negative thoughts and unhappiness,
mm-hmm.
our negative thoughts whistle around the world.
Right.
And impact
right.
other people.
Right.
So that's another reason why, because if you get somebody, you know, you've been in a room where there have been somebody who comes in and they just sort of like, they're called, what, psychic vampires? They go in
right.
and they just suck all the life out of the room.
Right.
And somebody's negative thoughts really do impact us.
Right.
And we keep forgetting that how vulnerable we are as humans. We forget we're all intertwined.
Right.
We're all together on this. And so, again, from various sources, we're hearing that it's important to try and keep our thoughts very, very positive
mm-hmm.
and uplifting, because our thoughts can bring down another soul.
Right.
And, again, what does that have? What does that do? Well, I'll tell you. You think negative thoughts, you depress your immune system.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been tests done like this, if I'm not mistaken, to verify this, have they not?
Right, right.
Okay, so, and if we hurt the environment, the very air we breathe, the water that we drink, we can't pretend that there's not a cause and effect and that everything is,
no.
you know, just standalone. It doesn't exist.
And I think that's why we have a lot of these international organizations
mm-hmm.
now, is because people have realized that what one country does affects another country. The same as what I do affects my neighbor.
Right.
What my state does affects the state next to me.
Exactly.
You know, you got the example of Atlanta and their water supply.
Oh,
Florida
yes.
didn't have water, and then, you
right.
know, there was a battle over that.
Right.
We've got the United Nations that
right.
was trying to resolve the issues in the Middle East.
Right.
You know, and so everything is so interrelated. The global warming now, as you
uh-huh.
were alluding to, you know, is a result of things that we do
yeah.
Heavy in this country. But now, you know, I read that India.
Yes, and China.
Getting the diesel
yes.
automobiles that is
very,
polluting
very.
Delhi.
Yeah, Delhi. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and isn't that sort of the area where they have all the Tsamis?
All the what?
The Tsamis. Where?
Yes, yes. And China now is becoming going to be the next major polluter.
Right, right.
You know, and they're finding that things were not as, you know, I don't know. I hate to go down that road. Now I'm getting pessimistic. Don't want to do that. I know that we can be agents for change if we choose to, if we put into our minds
right.
that what we want to do is to create a better world and environment. We can indeed do that.
Well, I know a lot of people are saying that 2012, there'll be a major change.
Oh.
And some, because that's when the Mayan calendar
right.
ends. But some people are seeing that as doomsday. But I prefer
yeah.
to see that as an elevation in
yes.
consciousness.
A greater awareness, maybe,
right.
awakening.
Where people will
mm-hmm.
be more cooperative and be more concerned about other people. And
that's beautiful. Now, that works for me.
I think that if we focus on that, then that's what we'll have.
Yes.
If we focus on the opposite,
That's what we'll have.
Because I think that in a recent election, many people that I knew focused so much on worrying about a certain thing would happen that it actually happened because
well, yes,
it brought so much energy to the situation.
Well, you know, my dear blessed aunt of was always so worried about things, you know, and she always was concerned that people would rob her. And I said, you know, if you don't stop thinking about it, darling, you know, one day you will find somebody on your bed ready to rob you.
Right, right. Well, I think that that often happens, the things that we most worry about.
Or fear we draw to us.
Because our unconscious doesn't know. It only knows, you know, that...
We send energy.
Right, yeah.
So, absolutely. Again, this is Carl Helvey who's talking. Written a wonderful book on how to help or avoid aging. And we would invite any of our listeners to call in and talk. I know sometimes I get word afterwards that the information is so good and we're having so much fun that people hold off on calling. Well, I don't want you to do that. I'd like you to call. Well, we know somebody's out there and breathing. It would help. But Carl is here with his expertise and many years of experience. And so we'd be delighted to have you call in and talk. So what is something else now, Carl, that we
can... You know, this is like when I used to teach distant education at the university.
Oh?
I knew there were students all over the state out in these various places, but I wasn't able to see them. And so what I'd have to do... See, I had an advantage over you.
Uh-huh.
Because what I would do, I would say... Now, Radford, who's over there? Or Virginia Beach, who's there? Tell me what you're thinking about all of this. And I would force them to then respond to me because I couldn't see anyone out there. I only knew that they were supposed to be out there somewhere.
Well, breathe louder so I can see you, folks. So at least you know you're alive.
But you don't have that advantage, I guess.
No, I don't. You know, one of these days we'll probably get a webcam in here and then... Then I'll see you. The other is I'll have to dress better because then you can see me. Okay. Oh, that's wonderful. What are some of the more interesting, more important areas that we should concern ourselves with? You were talking about the pollution and environmental stuff. What are some herbs and things that we can take that will help us to I don't want to say diffuse, but help to strengthen our immune system in this kind of environment that we have today?
Well, what I like to take, and I take it mainly to keep me healthy during the winter months, is called host defense. And it's made out of 17 types of mushrooms.
What is it called again?
Host defense.
Okay.
And it's made by New Chapter.
Okay.
And it includes the maitake mushroom that Andrew Weil talks about.
Right.
And I started taking this right after Hurricane Isabel when I had pneumonia.
Oh, okay.
And I thought, I don't ever want that again.
Right.
And so I have not had a sniffle in the 4 years I have taken this. I've been around people with pneumonia, with colds, everything else.
Okay.
I haven't gotten anything. So I swear by it. I think it's a wonderful thing.
And where can you get this?
I buy it at the health food store, but you can go online.
Okay.
And look under New Chapter or under Host Defense with a Google search.
Uh-huh.
Another thing that people take is garlic. But,
okay.
That's for the immune system. But,
well, I'll tell you something. I get heartburn if I take garlic. I cannot take garlic.
Now, it didn't work for me. I took it in terms of allergies to build up my immune system, but it didn't do much for me.
Right.
The other thing people take is echinacea. Now, that's very iffy. I think that if you take it more than a couple weeks, it loses its effectiveness.
Okay, okay.
So I think it's good, you know, when you're coming down with a cold, if you want to take it for a week or two,
Maybe, yeah.
But not longer than that.
No, because it's not meant for long term, because then your body builds up immunity to it, right?
Right.
Probably,
right.
Okay. And so this thing has shiitake mushrooms in it, you were saying?
Right. The host defense is 17 types of organically grown mushrooms.
Wow. What is it in mushrooms? Are they antioxidants or what?
I don't really know, Phyllis.
Okay.
What it is in there that is so helpful.
But you can get it. Okay. You know, I may have to look into getting that, because I would certainly like to make sure that I don't. I had pneumonia once, and let me tell you, it was no fun.
No. Uh-oh.
Okay. I could do without a repeat performance.
Right.
Okay.
Now, one thing I've taken also, because I cannot take aspirin or ibuprofen or some of those anti-inflammatory,
right.
And my chiropractor told me about this, and this is bromelain.
Bromelain?
Which is made from pineapple.
Huh.
And if you take it with meals, it aids digestion, but if you take it between meals, it's an anti-inflammatory.
Really?
So,
okay, that's interesting.
That worked very well when I injured my back.
Okay.
And there was inflammation, and so the chiropractor had me take that. And
that definitely worked for you.
Right.
Wow. Okay, and where do you get that? Also at a health food store?
Yes, right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so most of the things that you talk about are available in health food stores.
Now, I also used oil of oregano.
Okay, you mentioned that, and I did buy some, by the way.
Oh, did you?
Yes,
and
at your
site. Wasn't it hot?
Yeah, not too bad.
Oh, it is supposed to, and I believe this, not only kill bacteria, but it also kills viruses and fungus.
Huh.
And so I took that when I was taking the Cipro for my prostate problem.
Okay.
But I couldn't take it long term because it was just too hot.
Too hot.
I was taking too much because...
Are we talking about using things in moderation?
Right.
Just the thought there, hon.
Well, see, that's, again, the problem because of the lack of standardization of herbs, because it said I should have 400 milligrams twice a day.
Uh-huh.
And two drops, I think, was 50.
Oh, really?
And so I figured I needed to take 8 drops. Well, the bottle said only to take 2 drops.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, well, I need 8 drops. So I took 8 drops. And that was way, way too much.
Okay,
and
so next time you're going to...
And then I tried the enteric coated, and it was working.
Uh-huh.
It was helping, but then I stopped because I was having the colonoscopy.
Okay.
And then that was when I decided to use the beta-testosterone.
Okay, so that's oil of oregano.
Yes.
Okay, now, what is it that you use for allergies and stuff? That's the oil of oregano also?
For allergies, I try to use this host defense into the spring to take care of it at that time. But another thing that I take, and this was recommended in the Edgar Cayce readings.
Okay.
And that is, I was allergic to ragweed.
So am I.
Oh, you are?
Oh, yeah. Big
well,
time.
Well, Cayce recommended tincture of ragweed.
The hair of the dog that bit you? Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Huh?
The hair of the dog that bites you?
Yeah, right. Yep. Well, I came back from New York with severe allergies to ragweed in August.
Real? This past August?
Yep. And when I got back, I assumed it was ragweed, and I went and they put me on prednisone, and I took that for 6 days, I think it was.
Okay.
And I was taking something else.
Okay.
I can't remember what else. and it cleared up, but then a few days later I started wheezing. And
uh-oh.
So I started taking the pincer of ragweed.
Okay.
And within a day, the wheezing had stopped.
Okay.
And so then I discovered that it also helps with other allergies, because I'm allergic to dust.
Tincture of ragweed, right?
Right.
Okay. That's good.
I'm allergic to cats and dogs, and so,
mm-hmm.
and this is all since Isabel. And if I take the tincture of ragweed and I'm around the dog,
mm-hmm.
I won't have a problem.
Well, that's what I recommended to my girlfriend, and she's been taking it. She's, when she comes to visit, she takes it, and she doesn't have as much trouble.
Oh,
otherwise,
she
has to take one of those antihistamines.
Right. And so she's taken the ragweed, too.
Yes.
Good.
She
yeah.
said that really helps.
Good.
So thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
I do listen to your recommendations, my dear.
Well, I don't always listen to yours because I forgot about the thumb in my hand.
You know.
And I could have used that.
Yes, you could have. That's all right. You know, it's sometimes we have a tendency to regret because... And actually, too, because you're more geared toward the herbs
mm-hmm.
and medicine because of your training and background. And even though I've had that some of that, it's not as strong as yours by any means. So, and also I've had a lot of training in that, 6 or 7 years now
mm-hmm.
of doing what's called Jin Shin Jitsu and holding your thumb and so forth and doing some training in it and teaching. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's more likely to stick in my mind than it is yours when you've only heard it once from me.
Well, I am trying to learn some of the Donna Eden
uh-huh.
exercises.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
I mean, they're somewhat along the same line.
Uh-huh.
And so she had some that are for stress, and I'm trying to learn some of those that I can incorporate
uh-huh.
into my stress presentation.
I think that's fabulous.
And then she has some that you do every day to keep you healthy. So
oh,
I'm
yeah.
trying
well,
to
that's,
learn.
Yeah.
I figure anything that keeps you healthy, I'm interested in.
Absolutely. Well, we have, I think, come to the end of our session. I'm so glad, so very glad that I had you on. I'd love to have you in the meantime, and I will look forward to talking to you very, very soon. On that other matter we talked about, and
yeah.
see if we can't get something moving in that
right.
way. And
yeah.
I thank you again, Carl. And leave your phone number, please, so people can contact you.
And thank you, Phyllis.
Okay, Carl, well, how can they reach you?
They can go on my website, which is www.healthyholisticaging.com. I also have a free monthly newsletter that you can sign up for.
It's wonderful, folks.
If you want to reach me, then there's a way to reach me through my website.
Excellent. Thank you again, Carl. God
Thank
bless you.
Thank you, Phyllis. I enjoyed
and,
it.
Oh, as always, and we'll be talking very soon.
Great. Uh-huh.
Thank you all for listening. Good night, and God bless, and take care. We have Aaron Abramson next week. And y'all take care and have a glorious weekend. Bye.